Packers Quick Slant episode number 2. Let's go.
So this week's podcast is going to be pretty simple. What I'm going to be doing is I got to talk about some things that have been happening with the Packers. Bleacher Report just released that article. So we're going to touch on that during this episode. But the format of this episode is we're going to talk about that Packer news. We're going to move on to Jordy Nelson. And then I'm going to take some questions from my Instagram Live, which I'll be recording here as well. What I'll do is I'll read off the questions, and then I'm going to take some comments from everybody in the live chat. So, hopping on the Instagram Live right now, for all of you joining me on the Instagram Live, I am also recording this for my podcast. So, if you'd like to go to my profile, click on the link for my podcast, and you'll be able to hear this audio. It'll be up tonight for you to go back and listen to it if you'd like to. So the first thing I wanted to touch on today is the Bleacher Report article that came out. I think it was this afternoon. Great, you know, I mean, I'm reading this thing and, you know, there's just so many things in there that just aren't jiving with me, right? So it's a lot of, you know, oh, this quote from this time, that quote from this other time, these players said this, that player said that. And then it's essentially just the writer's perception of what was happening, right? So the writer was clearly taking these tidbits, and, you know, these tidbits have come from well over time, right? And he's compiling them into an article and then essentially making his own agenda by bringing the full thing to, you know, say that there was this huge, all this tension between McCarthy and Rodgers. And, you know, who am I to say there wasn't? There probably could have been. There probably was tension at some time. But like any of you know, if you are around people for that long, yeah, there's probably going to be some hiccups in the relationship. Everything's not going to be fine and dandy and smell like roses 24/7, right? But the one thing I didn't really like about the article was that he kept kind of pushing this onto Rodgers and saying, you know, Rodgers was arrogant, and people are quoting, saying, you know, Rodgers, you know, thought his shit didn't stink and all that fun stuff. But I will say one thing. If you're a quarterback, you want to be, I don't care if you're arrogant, to be quite honest with you. I want that in my quarterback. I want my quarterback to say, I am not only the best player on this field, I am the best player in the NFL. Because all that does is just give him the confidence, not that he lacks confidence, but gives him that confidence to be able to step out on that field and say, I can make every throw, I can make every play, I can do these things, and no one can stop me. That's the guy I want leading my team. Yeah, if a little bit of arrogance comes with it, okay, I'll accept that. But I want a guy who's going to be out there running around with confidence. You know, just because I'm so close to New York here, we see a lot of Eli Manning. You look at that guy and you can see, okay, this is a guy who has no confidence in himself. This guy's throwing the ball all over the field, has 20, 25, 30 picks a season, right? So we don't want that in our quarterback. We want our quarterback to step out on the field, be the absolute leader of our team, but know that he is the best player on that field. And if people consider that arrogance, you know, some people consider it confidence. I think 50 Cent wrote a song about arrogance and confidence. So if you guys want to go look up some 50 Cent tracks, go right ahead. But that's kind of my spiel on this topic and this article that was written this afternoon, or that came out this afternoon. So really didn't like the article. Thought it was one guy's opinion, and obviously he used the quotes that would help him make this article clickbait and some stupid stuff that people will read, and he thought that it would blow up. And a couple of people mentioned in the comments that, you know, that this guy who wrote this article also released it at the right time, right? Which he did. He definitely released it at the right time, because this is the same time, I'm sorry, I keep looking down. This was the same time that that the Packers reporter came out with the Mike McCarthy interview, right? So how perfect of a time to release this. And all it does is get, you know, all these Packer fans and all these Packer followers and everyone up else, you know, amped up and talking about, oh, is there a problem in Green Bay? I think everything's cool now. You know, James Jones came on, and, you know, if there are people you are going to listen to, it's people who are close to Rodgers. And the people that were cited in the interview or in the article were people who were not very close to Rodgers, right? Or how close do we know that they were to McCarthy, right? So you notice that there wasn't a quote from James Jones. There wasn't a quote from Jordy Nelson. There wasn't a quote from Randall Cobb. There wasn't a quote from Lindsay. There wasn't a quote from Bakhtiari. There wasn't a quote from all of these guys. Was there a quote from Charles Woodson? No. No quote from Charles Woodson. Quote from Clay Matthews? No. So essentially, they took all these guys that the Packers didn't re-sign and probably had a bad taste in their mouth and said, hey, we're going to release this article. Can you give us some stuff? And these guys told them, you know, essentially what they wanted to hear. All right, so now, onto the Jordy Nelson thing. I hope everyone enjoyed that little rant. And as always, drop your comments into the chat below, and I'll get to them later. We have some questions to go through, but I want to touch on Jordy Nelson real quick. So Jordy Nelson has retired. And then yesterday, or 2 days ago, he was on the Dan Patrick Show, and everyone's saying, oh, Jordy Nelson was quoted saying, it would be hard not to come back if Aaron Rodgers called, or some mixture of these words. But after that, which everyone has quoted, literally the next words out of his mouth were that he probably wouldn't come back. So everyone's taking these six or seven words that Jordy Nelson said on the Dan Patrick Show saying, if Aaron Rodgers called, it would be hard not to come back. But I probably wouldn't, were the next few words after that. So we need to understand, like, just because you're seeing quotes around something on whether it's Instagram or a Bleacher Report article does not give you the full context of what it's about, okay? That entire video from Jordy Nelson on a Dan Patrick Show, the entire time he talks about not moving his family again, wanting to go back to the farm, wanting to go back to farming, that he was done with football, saying that he pondered for 2 weeks with him and his wife sitting down every single night talking about whether to retire or whether not to retire. And he said at the end of every single day when he would talk to his family about it, they would come to the same conclusion, to retire from football. So, yes, he did say if Aaron Rodgers called, it would be hard to say no. But the rest of that sentence, which no one else has quoted, says, I probably wouldn't come back. Feel free to go look up the Dan Patrick interview. It's on YouTube. You can go check it out yourself. Okay? All right. So now, let's hop into some questions. And as always, start throwing in some questions into the comments. And we're gonna get to those. Let's see. Let's put up some questions here. All right. You think the Packers will get new uniforms anytime soon? So the Jets just released their new uniforms. They were leaked yesterday, but then officially announced today. The Packers have always been the team, or one of the few teams who have never changed or slightly changed their uniforms. So I do not think that the Packers will get a major upgrade when it comes to the uniform. Do I think it's due? Would I like to see it? Yeah, I'd like a refresh on the uniforms. Do I think it's going to happen? No, I don't think it's going to happen. All right, let's hop on to the next one. What would it take to trade up from 12 without trading 30 or 44? So it really depends what position we want to trade up into. If you want to trade up into the five position or up into the top five, you're probably going to be looking to trade your first round pick from next year too. If you're looking to get to, I don't know, the 10th spot, you'd probably have to package a third and a fourth rounder with that to move up that many spaces. Now, if there's a guy they really want and it's worth that, then absolutely go for it. I'm not one to question Goot. I'm pretty sure that he has got everything outlined perfectly to a T right now, understand where he wants to go, who he wants to pick up. But like we saw last year, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he moves around. And I think that he said that earlier this year. He mentioned that they build the team through the draft, and that he likes moving around. So we're going to see some trades happening with the Packers. Who knows what round it's going to be in. With two first-round picks this year, maybe they trade out of one of those spots or trade back or trade up. But I definitely see that the Packers are going to be moving around in this draft. All right. Thoughts on Andy Isabella at 30 or 44? I think that if the Packers do like him and want to take him, they'll take him at 44. After 44. What if he's even there? There are a couple other slot receivers that are kind of in that, you know, that 70 pick range or projected out into that range. So I can see them making the investment there. But if I was the GM of the Packers, I would be looking at, you know, defensive tackle, offensive line, and then safety at the 44 spot. So those, I think, are our biggest needs. I really don't think wide receiver is our biggest needs. One of our biggest needs, we definitely have some stuff to, or some players to follow, or some holes to fill. Sorry, I'm talking a little fast today. All right, let's see what else we got. If Byron Murphy falls to 44, are you taking him? That's a tough question. I do like him. I think that we absolutely do have a need at cornerback. I have a bad taste in my mouth from cornerbacks from Washington, especially cornerbacks from Washington in the second round, a la Kevin King, right? We all know the Packers traded out of the first round a couple years ago to pick him in the second round. And you know, that's my own bias, just because he's been injured the entire time, or most of the time. I think he's played 15 games in two seasons. So now, don't get me wrong, when King's on the field, you know, he did great last year when he was on the field, but you got to be on the field. We have to see some consistency there. Not saying that Brian Murphy would have the same, you know, injury issue, probably wouldn't. But what I'm saying with that is, I still think that we have bigger needs to fill at 44 than to go with a cornerback. However, if a cornerback is there, like say Greedy's there at one of our picks in the first round, you know, that might be a dangerous combination to have him and Jair out there on the outsides. And also, I think the Niners are pretty high on Murphy, so he may not even get to 44. Okay. BPA, defense at 12 and 30. I could see it happening. I could absolutely see defense happening at both spots. But they would have to be really high on a safety to pick in that 30 spot. All of the draft simulations that I'm currently doing, I'm seeing the safeties, the bulk of the safeties falling to that 44th pick. I think it's going to be defense at 12. 30 could be offensive line. Who knows? Maybe there is a safety available that they like at 30. And once again, I am not the player evaluator, right? So, you know, if Goop feels strong about some guy and they've evaluated this guy and they know that this guy can help our team and he's a safety and they're going to pick him at 30, go ahead. I trust them. Did a pretty good job last year in the first few rounds with their draft picks. Okay, some more questions. Okay. Let's see. We talked about the recent drama. We talked about all that fun stuff. Let's see. All right, so we're going to take some questions from the comments right now. So go ahead and I'm going to cycle back through, start at the top. If anyone has any questions, just drop them in and I'll get to them at the bottom. See a lot of thumbs up and a lot of laughing faces in there. I hope you people aren't laughing at me. Maybe hopefully you're laughing with me. And hopefully people are still there on the podcast. I don't know if anyone is. But let's go ahead. All right. How's it arrogance if it's a fact? Oh, so going back to the Aaron Rodgers thing, how's it arrogance if he's right? I mean, once again, you know, we want our quarterback to be arrogant. We want him to know that he can make every throw and confident enough that, you know, he can do these things. And, you know, it's the article even mentioned, and I'm not going to quote from this article just because I hate it so much, but it did mention that you know, Aaron Rodgers didn't make it easy for McCarthy because he was essentially that coach on the field, that coach in the game, who was so cerebral that he knew almost too much, right? So he would know so much as to then just take the play away from McCarthy and to be able to call his own play and to audible from his own stuff. And, you know, McCarthy kind of created that beast though, right? By letting him early in his career start taking a lot of the play calling. By Aaron Rodgers doing a lot of the play calling. And, you know, it worked. Don't get me wrong. It worked for us for many, many years, right? But what happened is the complacency. I mean, even Mark Murphy mentioned that. Mike McCarthy mentioned that Murphy said he was getting too complacent. And that's easy to do, right? When you have Aaron Rodgers out there making the best of things, even if you are calling, you know, starting with a poor play and Rodgers sees something different at the line and can change it and make it into a better play. Okay. Let's see, cycling back through. All right. We're drafting a tight end. Make the bet. No one threw in a bet, but yeah, I'll make a bet with someone. If you want to bet that we're gonna draft a tight end at the 12th pick, if you want to make that bet, I will take that bet. You got to understand, like with tight end, there's really this person would have to be an unbelievable talent to be worth the 12th pick for a tight end. The value is not there. For a tight end to be picked 12. Now you guys can tell me, oh, the guy was a stud at Iowa, and just go back to my last video. Yeah, great. The guy was a stud at Iowa. Fantastic. He was playing against Illinois. He was playing against, you know, not to say Big Ten teams aren't great, but the other teams that they were playing against that were outside of the Big Ten were cupcakes. I mean, it was like me running around there, right? I'm sure he could block me if I was out there. Big deal. Doesn't make him a good tight end. To that point, that's why I like these tight ends who are proven to play against SEC caliber players. Players that I know are going to be coming into the NFL. Not against guys like me. Guys who are going to go, I think I mentioned this yesterday, and everyone loved this. Guys who are working at a taco stand next year, right? So taco center or taco truck, maybe. All right, so here we go. Let's get some questions here. Did you hear Aaron Rodgers was getting a new helmet? Yes. That was actually at the end of last year. They came out and said that Aaron Rodgers was going to be the first, either the first player or the first quarterback to be wearing this new helmet. What kind of helmet is it? I don't know. Hopefully it's a magical helmet where you can hear the plays a lot better, right? What's your ideal draft in the first round? Or who do you want to see us pick? You know, but my thing is defensive tackle. I really think that interior defensive line, the fact that we didn't sign Mo Wilk or re-sign him, I think that there is a big need there on that defensive line. So if Oliver's there, great. Rashawn Gary, great. I wouldn't complain at either of those guys at that 12th pick. But I think it has to be an interior defensive lineman. I don't think that we're gonna do that, waste that pick on it on an edge rusher. Not to say it would be a waste, but we literally just went out and spent like hundreds of millions of dollars on two edge rushers, and then we still have Fackrell and Reggie Gilbert there too. So we have some depth at the position right now, which is great. But I think we need to add some depth at that defensive tackle position. And especially since next year is going to be Mike Daniels, or this year is Mike Daniels last year. He's a free agent next year. So we might want to bring someone in case we don't re-sign him. And then Kenny Clark's fifth-year option is going to be next year. So we have Kenny Clark for at least two more years before we're going to have to re-sign him as well. So that would be my ideal 12th pick. Now, my ideal 30th pick would be someone along the lines of a Dalton Risner. And I've mentioned him plenty of times in my posts. I think the guy is a great player. I actually watched one of his highlight reels, the highlight reel against Michigan State. Please go to YouTube and watch that because you will see him manhandle Sweat. Which was very interesting for me to see how he dominated Sweat and how people are so high on Sweat right now. However, there was this right tackle that was actually absolutely burying him. So go check out that YouTube video. If we draft a tight end in the first round, I wouldn't pee my pants. I would chalk it up to, okay, I completely misread this, but I still trust, I still trust the process. I trust Goot. I trust the player evaluators. So if they really wanted a tight end at 12, all for it. I just don't see the value there. Only wide receiver I'd take at 30 would be AJ Brown. I'm not a strong proponent of taking a wide receiver at 30. I don't like taking a wide receiver in the first round. I don't know. I think that if we are going to take a wide receiver, it's going to be a shifty, smaller slot type receiver in the later rounds. Every single year, the Packers lose because of one reason. Their defense sucks. Yeah, so last year, so here are the stats, and everyone can go check these out on Pro Football Focus if you'd like. But last year, the Packers pass rush, we were sixth in the league in sacks, and I know people who follow me have probably heard this 100 times, but I keep going back to this. We were, top of the league in sacks, or top five, top 10 in the league in sacks. But then when it came to interceptions, we were literally in the bottom five. And that holds true. I don't know if you've seen the most recent post about the interception leaders over the last couple of years. Clinton Dix led our team last year with 3 interceptions, and my man only played 10 games with us. You can't. If you look back to the years of Woodson, you look back to those years. I mean, dude was putting up 7, 8, 9 interceptions every single year from one guy. I don't know if we had 9 interceptions total last year. So something we need to work on is our defensive backfield. And hopefully with Amos, that's the first step to getting there. Okay. All right. Let's see if we have some more questions coming in. I'm thinking inside linebacker or defensive tackle at 12, safety at, or at 30 and safety at 44. Once again, so I think safety is going to be a prime spot at 44. And that's just based off the simulations that I've been doing. I see a lot of safeties lasting that long. Okay. All right, trying to get to some more questions here. Hockenson at 12 and Fant at 30. So I am so glad you brought that up, because there was a CBS mock draft a couple of weeks ago who had us not picking those two, but they had us picking Hock at 12 and then Irv Smith at 30. And I'm reading this and I'm looking at, I'm like, what is CBS doing? Are these people have just absolutely no clue? Shut the window. There's a Packer storm. There may be. Oh, there's Packer storm right there. All right. Oh, got some Bears fans joining too. Okay. What the fuck happened? Excuse me. Forgot about the podcast recording. Can't really swear on that. So what happened to Josh Jones? Bust? I think this year is going to be the tell of Josh Jones and if he's a bust or not. Last year, they really didn't give him the playing time. The year before, he showed some promise. Last year, didn't get the playing time. So we'll see. We'll see what happens this year. And we'll also see with the draft, right? So we have Amos. Josh Jones would be, you know, the inherent of that second position. And we'll see if they draft the safety high, then they're probably going to expect that safety to come in. Don't forget, we also have Ibrahim Campbell, who the Packers really liked, who they haven't re-signed yet, but still like him. I think he's probably going to have to pass a physical from that torn ACL that he had at the end of the season. The Packers probably want to see what type of state he's in with that. Rodney Gunter, just refresh me on Rodney Gunter. I'm gonna look at another question right now. Just drop that in there. Do you think the Packers should draft tight end Mike Hunt from NC State? My favorite tight end right now is going to be the one that the Packers are visiting or had visit, would be Sternberger. I looked at his stats. I saw the competition he played against. And that's proof enough for me. Looking at these guys' stats and saying he played against pro-level athletes in college and he still put up 810 yards or 820 yards and 10 touchdowns last year, which is a lot more than Fant or than Hockenson put up last year. Former Cardinal, Ronnie Gunn. Oh, so that's a defensive tackle at the Packers. Had in. That's right. Sorry. So many names flying all over the place. Getting a little confused with these guys. So a guy like Gunter, if they were to bring him in, I think that's going to be showing some competition for a rookie that they would bring in. So Gunter would come in at relatively cheap, number one at this point in the free agency market, but number two at what he was making last year too. So I think that, if Gunter was to come in, it would be to push a rookie. My calculus homework is hard. Does anyone have, no, reverse derivatives? Jesus Christ. You're never going to use that in the real life. Don't worry about it. All right. Well, all right. I think that those are all the questions. Thanks everyone for joining. And like I had said in the beginning, I'm going to post this on my podcast. So if you want to go and listen to it there, I'll have the link in my profile. All right. And feel free to send me any DMs with any other questions. Thanks.